Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Lynn Hinderacher, and he is an innovation consultant. He's a talk show host and he's a 4-H alumni. Good morning to you, Lynn.
Good morning, LaVon, and thanks for having me.
You bet. It's pretty exciting to have you here in the KJN studio and hear about some of your ideas and what you're doing. And we wanted to talk about diverseness. I guess diversity to me can be really positive.
Oh, yeah.
But if we are very diversive, that's more negative.
I think it's the difference between diversity and polarization.
There you go. Good. Yes. Very good. So your experience, I want to have you tell the story of how your experience with 4-H started.
Yes, indeed. I'm happy to do that. I grew up in North Central Iowa. I was a classic 4-H'er. I raised cattle every year, and I enjoyed going to the county fair and all that. And I kind of moved up a little bit in the 4-H organization, and eventually in 1968, that's a long time ago, I was elected Boys State 4-H President, representing, I think, close to 12 or 18,000 kids. I don't remember exactly.
And you had
a
big audience there of 4-H'ers to speak in front of?
In front of, at C.Y. Stevens Auditorium in Ames, Iowa in the late 60s. It was quite a privilege. And I was competing to be an officer at that particular time. It was a defining point in my life, I think. And I was very sensitized to the turbulence, LaVon, in society at that time. I'm watching Robert F. Kennedy, the assassination, Martin Luther King. I mean, just a lot of terrible things happening in society, divisiveness, racial disharmony, and so on. Vietnam, of course. And so when I stood up in front of people, I was invited to compete, so to speak, to be an officer of the 4-H organization in Iowa. My comments were about the relevance of 4-H. I said, it's great that we do what we do, but we can do more. We need to serve society in a broader and a more meaningful way. That was my message at that time. And I said, there must be something we can do. I know we're all capable. There's a lot of us. Why aren't we doing something that really changes society?
And you must have lit a fire under those members because you were elected among
Yes, they elected me. It was a great moment. So a few months later, I was asked to go to Washington, D.C. as part of the 4-H Congress, which is a standard annual thing. And I'd been there a day or so, and somehow the 200 young folks that were there at the time, I don't know how I ended up in this position, but they all decided I should give a speech to Secretary of Agriculture Clifford Hardin at that particular time at the 4-H Congress in Washington, D.C. And, of course, I had my speech in my hip pocket. Right?
Yes.
Absolutely. So I had the opportunity. I didn't even think twice about it. And I reiterated the same message that 4-H'ers should be socially sensitive and responsible to the minorities and the underserved and people that are going through a lot in our society. We should help them somehow. And it went over very well. People seemed to like it. And that was the end of that. We went back to Iowa. And the person that ran the 4-H program in Iowa at the time, C.J. Gogger, a wonderful man and a true, true mentor of mine, received a phone call from the assistant to Secretary of Agriculture, Clifford Hardin. And she said, he'd like to throw some money at you, give you some resources, a little bit of money, and see what you can do with the idea that young man tried to describe.
So you moved into some urban 4-H, which at that point was very unusual.
Oh.
And a little bit, we're going to jump way ahead. But tell us a little bit about that experience
in Des Moines. We went to Des Moines, Iowa. We went right into the heart of the African-American kind of an urban ghetto environment right there in the middle of the city. And we went underneath Forest Avenue Baptist Church, which already had a daycare center, by the way. They were serving the neighborhood. And we set up a little 4-H program down there in the basement. And we created, out of nowhere, really, it was very informal, but we started bicycle clubs, LaVon. We started safety clubs, citizenship clubs, pet clubs, as you might imagine, backyard things with your rabbits and all that kind of stuff.
So you were really ahead of your time, not only in being urban 4-H, but having those specific clubs, because for a long time in Iowa, there were not those kinds of clubs, and now we're kind of back to those again.
Yeah, well, I think you're right about that. And once again, it was like, what can we do? This seemed commonsensical to us, so we just went ahead and did it. And slowly, week by week, we attracted more young kids, most of them 8 to 12, 15 years of age. A lot of them after school didn't have nothing to do but get into trouble anyway, as you can imagine. But it was quite an interesting experience, I have to tell you, LaVon, because they're down there doing the 4-H pledge. I pledge my heart to greater thinking and health to better living and all that. And there were pimps and drug dealers a half a block away. And I don't mean one.
That was the neighborhood.
Right. That was the neighborhood. And we had to get used to that. So it was quite an interesting contrast. And so that was the first step, as I understand, in urban 4-H.
Urban 4-H.
Yeah.
So now let's move to today. We right now, in all of the things that's going on in the world, there are lots of killings. There is lots of disagreement about how we should do things. And, you know, some people get so upset about what's going on.
There's so much disharmony. Absolutely.
Yes. And if you are on this side, then you're my enemy, and you know all that. I mean, you know all that. So what does that have to do with what you're thinking and doing now?
Well, I look back as I've come to find out, 3.5 million young people are in cities today across America. Many of them dense areas, cities that are 4-H members, and they're doing projects. They're working together. Some of them are rural folks working in complete harmony, by the way, with urban folks, and they're doing things together. And all these differences, whether you're rural and urban or black and white, minority, it doesn't really matter. All those things fall away as you create simple projects and crafts and different things together. And that's the beauty of it. You know, here today we talk about our society is so polarized and nobody gets along, fragmentation, of course. But I got to tell you, 4-H is the bridge, I really do believe, at least one of the ways that at an early age you can pull people of all backgrounds together.
Yeah, we already have all of those young people enrolled in 4-H.
They're already there.
Right. So now what do we do?
Well, I think they're positively working together and helping things, but I don't think we recognize we're not leveraging the great projects and the people that 4-H has already in place. It really is, we're looking for a bridge that America can walk across and be with each other. And I guess my message is 4-H is the bridge. And it really started 47 years
just
ago.
But for you,
the
yes.
fact of the matter, for me, the fact of the matter is, it does provide a platform or a stage upon which all kinds of people can work together, and they won't hate each other ever again. They'll trust each other many, many years after they participate in something like that, I believe.
Well, when you build something with another person, you see that person is equally intelligent, has maybe more skills in one area than I do, and we can work together to do something and create something.
So true.
Yes.
Yeah, collaboration is the key.
Yes.
But you got to practice it early and get it started early. Otherwise, we have all these assumptions and stereotypes that we have to get over, and those are very heavy barriers.
Always, young people get all these TV messages, radio messages, parent messages, political messages.
Right.
It's all bombasting us.
Yeah, and preventing us from really recognizing the human beings, the essential part of who we all are. Mm-hmm. Kind of a brotherhood theme there. So, but it's constructive and practical as well. It's not just idealistic, and I think that's the really important thing. I think 4-H should be leveraged as we try to heal the fabric of American culture today. And it comes here at a very political, divisive time, and I think it's especially important as well during this period.
So when you compare to when you were elected president all your 4-H years with now, I'm thinking about all the technology and all the ways we get messages, but all the ways we could send messages. What difference do you think that makes, if there is any difference?
You know, 10-20 years ago, technology was touted as something to bring us together, kind of a unifier. I have to tell you, I think it actually works more in the opposite. I think it fragments us and kind of gets us set off in our own little area sometimes. So I'm not exactly sure that technology is really the answer. I think tearing the technology down in some respects and just putting people face-to-face in the same physical area and saying, make this, work on that, come up with something. And as they told us when they funded us originally, just experiment with something. You know, these days it's always about goals and metrics. We have to measure and we have to get here and there. Sometimes people just have to be together and try to get things done in an open-ended discovery type fashion. That's an innovation story, and that's kind of my thing too.
But yes,
I really do believe that play and open-ended discovery is kind of key in doing things together.
So back to, actually, you handed me an essay, and the title is How to Heal America, Walk the Bridge.
Walk the Bridge. And I believe 4-H is
the
bridge.
The bridge is 4-H.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been delightful, Lynn, to have you here and visit with you. And, of course, I always love to talk about 4-H
Absolutely.
And the possibilities there are. So best wishes to you. We hope that this message kind of goes on wherever, whoever's listening today. We hope you really think about this message from Lynn Hinderacher. From where are you from now?
We're from Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah,
absolutely. I have a company there in Omaha for about 25 years. Thanks for having me, LaVon. I appreciate it.
You bet. We welcome you very much. And until next time, let's think about the 4-H motto, to make the best better.